Good morning and good afternoon. Again, from the earliest morning to later afternoon, I guess we represent that as we make our way through the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. Yeah. And I trust it's going to be as exciting for everyone as it is for me to read through this and realize what the point is, what is the object of the revelation that was given to John and handed out to all of us as well for these last 2,000 years. So I want to read this introductory paragraph. We're talking about the second letter, the second church, the one in Smyrna. And so let me read this paragraph here. As the firstborn from the dead, Jesus is literally the victorious living proof of life after death. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the author and finisher of salvation, the lover of souls now his. Now and for all eternity, he stands in enemy-annihilating power and beyond describing majesty. Jesus is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. The vast scope of salvation enfolds the whole church securely in its love-oozing embrace. So one of the things here as we read this passage, and as I look at it now with new eyes and new attitude, I realized so many things that were presented in these letters, presented in sermons about these letters, was from a real, like, tisk, 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 I'm going to get you attitude. So now that I look at it, I think with clearer ideas, I'm like, I don't really see that here. So I hope to encourage us as we read through here today, this second letter that was quoted, and just the emphasis here that these are letters that are being dictated by the lover of our souls. It's just important as we go into these letters that we don't misunderstand where they're coming from. What is the heart? What's the intention? And so I just think we need to look at it as these are words written by the lover of our souls. Mm-hmm. So Revelation 2, starting in verse 8. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Smyrna. For these are the words of the one who is the beginning and the end, the one who became a corpse but came back to life. I am aware of all the painful difficulties you have passed through and your financial hardships, even though in fact you possess rich treasure. And I am fully aware of the slander that has come against you from those who claim to be Jews but are not. They are a satanic congregation. Do not yield to fear in the face of the suffering to come, but be aware of this. The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison to test your faith. For 10 days you will have distress, but remain faithful to the day you die, and I will give you the victor's crown of life. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches. The one who conquers will not be harmed by the second death. So again, lover's words, the one who wants them to understand that he has not left them, he will never leave us or forsake us till the very end of the age. And now here he is dictating this, I think, very powerful letter. And so Revelation 2, verse 8, the first blank, this is the lover's alive again forevermore declaration. Alive again forevermore. I just see four lovers' declarations in this, so that's where I'm heading with this. So Jesus, in the opening, before he begins texting, he wants John to know that I'm writing, giving you these words as the one who is the beginning and the end, the one who died and came back to life. That's the That's how he's dictating this letter. That's how he is. That's where he's going with this. And so this is a letter from someone who loves the church, has always loved the church, and died for the church, and came alive as the permanent, all for the forevermore victor over the grave. So he's wanting them to understand that's the perspective I'm coming from in this one. These are the words of the one. And so he's saying, for this, to this church that is suffering, this is who I want you to understand me to be here. This is why I'm telling you this, because I came as a human, I suffered, I died as any human would, but I came back to life to lead the church. And so, and then we remember back in chapter one of Revelation, it's all about, I'm the one who walks between the lampstands, and the lampstands are the churches. My presence is always there. I'm always around with you. And so this is such an amazing word, I think, to recognize that this is the one who is alive again forevermore, making this declaration to this church, loving them enough to write them a letter. Mm-hmm. You know, letter writing is kind of a dying art these days, isn't it? You remember we used to write, well, some of us used to write all the time. And I mentioned in one of my notes a few weeks ago, you know, especially when young men are in love, all of a sudden they discover a pen and paper, and they write notes, love letters, and copious, and on and on, and they can't get enough. They keep going on these, and it's something strange happens after the wedding. You know, it's like they lose their pens, they lose the paper, and sometimes you just don't see any more of those wonderful things. And one of my, you know, favorite comic strips in the paper, which I love to do, of course, you all know this, but one of them, they're always, this husband and wife, they're always leaving love notes for each other. Her name is Rose, and so she loves tea. And so she will often find a love note tucked in her cup when she goes to make her tea in the morning, etc. And there's always hearts floating up because it reminds them how much they're loved because someone thought of them to write a note. So all the guys listening, you might want to take note of that. That's always a good idea. But the Jesus is doing this. He's writing a note to the one he loves, the one, his beloved. He's writing a note, not just thinking about it, not just, you know, I plan to take care of them. No, he's letting them know, I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of you so much. I'm going to take time to dictate this letter to you. Yes. So, alive again forevermore declaration, not only a good news for the church in Smyrna, but pretty good news for those of us of the church today in the 21st century. In verse 9, Jesus is saying, look at all these things that are going on. It's not like I've forgotten. I know that these are happening. I know that these are painful times. And so the blank in number 2 is the lover's peace-producing, I see you declaration. The peace-producing, I see you. And in one of the online devotionals, Lectio 365, if you've been watching that or you've heard of that, they just went through the whole story of Hagar, where the whole thing of El Roy comes from, the God who sees me, when she was in the desert and she was being kicked out of their home and everything because of Sarah's jealousy and whatever. And that's when God spoke to her, and that's where this comes from. And so here's this church, and they're going through really terrible times. And not only the Church of Smyrna, obviously, there were many other churches going through this, because when I was looking it up, one of the things that was happening to them, Smyrna was also a capital kind of emperor worship. And as Christians, if you would not bow down and you would not profess allegiance and loyalty and worship to Caesar, you could be ostracized. And one of the ways the Romans did that is you could be excluded from the guilds. And the guilds are kind of like the unions of the day. And if you were not allowed to be entered in, you basically lost your employment. And so these people really were dealing with some serious, serious financial issues. And the slander that's come against them, those who claim to be Jews, but they're really not, they're just a part of a satanic congregation. And in the midst of this, right in the midst of all the things, all the difficult things that Jesus is seeing that they're going through, he says this, in fact, even though in fact you possess rich treasure. And so this is the God who sees the church at Smyrna. And he looks at them and he says, I see everything, all the suffering, all the things that are difficult for you. But just in case you've forgotten, you do possess a rich treasure. What you have in me is a rich treasure. Your salvation. What you have been given, what the life that you've been given in me is a rich treasure. And so it's interesting that he would put it right there in the middle of all the difficult things, your financial hardships, even though in fact you possess rich treasure. Mm-hmm. So just a reminder, it may not look like it. It may not feel like it. You may not be shouting hallelujahs as you run down the street under the circumstances that you're in right now. But I do want to remind you that what is really true underneath all of that, all of the difficulty, all the hardship, all the pain, is a rich inheritance that you have in me. And I will never leave you or forsake you even till the end of the age. This is the one who spoke those words. And so he's recognizing their current situation, but he's saying, but at the same time, you do possess a rich treasure. There is something in me that all of these other things cannot remove. They can't take them away. They can't annihilate them. Because what I've created in you is an enduring treasure. It's a forever treasure. So right in the midst of this, he does kind of slip this reminder in there. And it's always been amazing to look at this and go, oh, really? And they've really dealt with some really hard things, obviously, which he's referring to. But at the same time, as Paul says in one of his letters to the Corinthians, he says, having nothing but possessing everything. And so this is what these people are dealing with as well. They physically and emotionally, sometimes they just have nothing, but in Jesus, they have a rich treasure, as we do, of course, in the 21st century. And then verse 10, the declaration there, the blank, is the lovers after the suffering. Declaration, after the suffering. And isn't it wonderful that there's some way of knowing after the suffering? So he's saying to them, do not yield to fear in the face of the suffering to come. It is coming. But be aware of this. The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison to test your faith. For 10 days you'll have distress, but remain faithful to the day you die, and I will give you the victor's crown of life.
Yeah.
It is coming. Hard times are coming. It is going to be painful. But after the suffering, you know, and it's kind of like you're going in to the hospital and you have to have surgery.
Yeah.
No one wants to do that. It's going to be a pain, literally. And as some of us on the screen have experienced lately, has been a major pain. But isn't it wonderful if the surgeon can say, you know what, it is going to be a difficult recovery. It's going to be painful. It's going to be slow. But after the suffering, you're going to experience a release from the pain, a release from the suffering, or a release from the weakness that you haven't known in a very long time. So just knowing, you know, acknowledging, yes, it's going to be painful. Yeah, it's not going to be pleasant. But after it's over, and it will be over, after it's over, then, wow, it's going to be so much better. And so I think that's what this declaration here is in verse 10. He's recognizing, he's telling them, the devil wants to test you. That's nothing new, right? I mean, we've been warned over and over again, and we've got many examples in scripture, and we could spend the next week sharing our stories and the way the enemy has tempted us throughout our lives. But it is going to happen. He's going to test you. But if you remain faithful, if you could just hang in there and keep pushing through the suffering, then I will give you the victor's crown of life. I will give it to you. I'm going to be there when it's over. When you finally come through all the difficulties, I'm going to be there for you, and I will give you the victor's crown of life. So, great assurance to this church that is, right? I mean, they're probably on their knees at this point, just feeling like, we can't go any further. This is horrible. It just seems like everybody's against us. Nothing is working. And every day gets worse. And then they receive this letter dictated from the lover of their souls. I've not forgotten you. I see you. I have a plan. After the suffering, I'll be there. And if you endure to the end, you will receive from me the victor's crown of life. You know, if I'd been in the church at Smyrna and I'd heard these words read to me in, obviously not in, they wouldn't have been in English, but in that translation and what words they could hear, how encouraging would that have been? Like, wow, he really hears us. This is the one who's the beginning and the end, who we believe in. And he actually is seeing us and continuing to see us, admitting it's going to be difficult, continuing to be difficult, but there's going to be an after the suffering. Such an encouraging word there.
Yes.
And then in verse 11, as we finish up this short letter, it's just a really brief note, actually, that he's writing. And the blank in number 4 is the lovers to all conquerors declaration. To all conquerors, declaration. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches. The one who conquers will not be harmed by the second death. In other words, they won't experience it. They'll be alive forevermore. And so, conquering, paying attention, staying faithful, hanging in there, will not be harmed. The conquerors will not be harmed by the second death. And then with the one thing you notice in the letter to Smyrna is there's no but. There's no, like, you know, I love all these things I see that are admirable and praiseworthy. There's no but I have this one thing against you. No, there's none of that in there. There's just encouragement. Encouragement that is in full acknowledgement of how hard it is. You know, but it's like, you know how uncomfortable and, I mean, how unhelpful it is when you have to go back to this, you know, image of surgery, if you have to go through surgery and someone just says, oh, I'm so sorry. Boy, that's going to be so hard. Yeah. Like,
thank you.
Really is not too helpful, right? You know, like, I'm so sorry. This is going to be so bad. You know, no. Jesus is saying to the church there, it's going to be all right because I'm going to be there when you come through this, and you're going to come through this in the end after the suffering. So, this is an amazing letter too. This second letter of the 7 to this church of Smyrna, and Jesus is encouraging them. He's encouraging us. And how many churches around the world today would love to get this letter read to them?
Yeah.
Every war-torn country, right. Everywhere where there are believers and they're being persecuted for their faith, where war is going on and it's against them largely, to know that the one who loves them, the lover of their souls, sees what's happening. You know, when I think back of to the Holocaust and all of these horrible things, the pogroms that were going on, and all the crusades and everything, people were being killed. You know, to receive this letter, like, I see this, I see what you're going through, I understand this. But if you persevere to the end, if your faith holds strong to the end, I'm going to give you the victor's crown of life. What an amazing short little note. It doesn't have to be pages long like some of us are usually writing three times a week, but just a short note like this. And I wonder how many times the church reread this letter. Read it again. I bet they were all like little children. Please read it again. Would you read it again? Even though they probably know it by heart after a certain length of time, please read it again. And, you know, like a lot of children who have memorized the story, if you're tired and trying to skip a few spots, you can't get away with that with children. They're no, you missed this part. So I think they want everything read to them. And so this is another of these great communications from the lover of our souls to us, to all churches. What the Spirit is presently saying, he says, to all the churches. So it's not just Smyrna. Many churches then and now are going through incredible persecution. And so we want to remember that. As we pray this morning later, let's remember the church that is being persecuted, and that they would understand, that they would be given the revelation by the Spirit that this letter from Jesus to the church in Smyrna is also for them. They're not forgotten. Even though it's horrible what's going on, it is still something that we can remind them of, even as we pray, that there is one who loves them, who is still standing there, who still has victor's crowns of life to hand out to them. So just want to pray for us this morning. That's the letter to the church in Smyrna. I'm sure some of you have been reading and looking up different things, and so it'll be good to share some of the things we've been seeing as we've looked through. So let's pray together. Father, we come this morning with gratitude that your eyes are always on us, that there's not even a sparrow that falls that doesn't have your attention. And so your word has reminded us over and over again how precious we are in your sight. So thank you for seeing us in good times and in hard times. Thank you for love that covers over these times, giving us strength, giving us courage, refreshing our perspective, calling us back to worship. Thank you for your love for the church in Smyrna. Thank you for your love for the persecuted church today. Thank you for the many, many freedoms we in this country still enjoy. And we know it's not because of what we've earned. It's because of your favor. And so we thank you for the way you show your favor to those of us who are so unworthy. But you love us. You've chosen us. And you hold victor's crowns for those of us who remain faithful to the end. What glorious pictures you paint. What joy is ours knowing you don't abandon us. You don't look away. You see. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.